Every day, up to 30 million Americans roam the planet without any clue whatsoever. These are people who don't know what the hell they're doing. You can help by sending your contribution to People Who Roam the Earth Who Don't Know What the Hell They're Doing. P.O. Box 3627, Sheboygan, Michigan, 92032. Help these people. They go through their entire lives with no direction, no clue, no intelligence. They're asking for your help. Only you can help these people and prevent wildfires. Send your contribution today to People Who Roam the Earth Who Don't Know What the Hell They're Doing, P.O. Box 627, Atsakansa, Colorado, 62732. We make it easy for you. No need to donate on a monthly basis. Simply send us your checking account number and we'll remove up to $2,000 per month from your checking account to help these people. People who roam the earth, who don't know what the hell they're doing. P.O. Box 63275, Lackawanna, California, 32756. It takes no more than 2 minutes to write a check. Rather than spell out the entire name of the organization, People Who Roam the Earth Who Don't Know What the Hell They're Doing, it's so much easier to make the check out to Ron Van Dam, P.O. Box 2732, Mistawana, Michigan, 32752. Many of these people are children who have no clothing, no food, no apartments, no credit cards, nothing. They too roam the earth. They don't know what the hell they're doing. We can't let this go on. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop now. Send your donation with a check made out to Ron Van Dam and a little note inside that gives me the ability and the authorization to remove money from your checking account on a monthly basis in care of People Who Roam the Earth Who Don't Know What the Hell They're Doing, P.O. Box 6237, Millen Pond Springs, Nova Scotia, 92357. You'll see that your contribution can make a great difference. As an added bonus, I will personally send you a postcard from some resort island where I will be living with your money.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Don't send me a check. I'm only kidding.
Whatever.
Unless you really, really want to. We'll be right back. Hey, good evening. Bye. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. Sure, it sounds like World's Biggest Loser, which would have nothing to do with weight control, but it's not. Oh yeah, baby. All right. A little lower. Right there. You got the spot. Oh yeah, man, you got it now. Oh no, now a little higher. It's moved a little bit. A little bit higher. Oh, to the left. Oh no, you're too far. To the right. Oh yes. That's the place. Oh yes, baby. A little bit higher now. A little bit. Oh, too high. Oh, no. That's way too high. Oh, no. Don't touch that. Oh, no. You popped it. Oh, look. Give me a tissue. A little bit lower. Oh, yes. Oh, that's the spot. Oh, no. A little bit lower. Oh, now that's the spot. Yes. Oh, no. Oh, don't do that. Oh, yes. I'm exciting myself, and pretty much that's it. Do you ever get, why do things that itch you on your back, why are they always in the one spot that you can't possibly reach, you know? And just thank God I'm not a dinosaur. I wouldn't be able to reach anything because they have little arms. Did you see that? Yeah, they have little arms. They're like, there's no point to those arms. They don't do anything. Even if they were holding a banana, you wouldn't even be able to get your mouth down to the banana if you were a dinosaur. I think that's why they all died, because they couldn't scratch themselves, and there were no walls or trees because they were like way too big. Oh, I know this. I'm a historian. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. If you're not familiar with what I do, then it's best to keep it that way for your own sanity. I'm already foregone. I'm a foregone conclusion. Can you do me a favor, please, before we go any further with the program? Could you just like, I feel like a little itch on my back, just a little higher. No. Lower. No, much lower. No. You're not even close. Get lower. Oh, yeah, that's it. Okay, fine. God. Hey, next week, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know what I'm talking about. We've got our big sex show coming up. Ron, who better to commandeer a sex show than you? Well, nobody. We're going to be talking to a psychologist who is going to tell us about open relationships, which are relationships that are open. They're free-range relationships where apparently the man and the woman in the relationship don't give a crap about what you do. Usually when you're in a relationship with somebody and one person starts like fooling around with somebody else, it's called cheating and you break up. These people apparently say, oh, that is so hot. So I don't get it, but open relationships. We're going to talk about that with a psychologist who says that, maybe it's not a bad idea. Saves a lot of relationships. Well, it also, I think, ends a lot of relationships, but we'll find out. And her name is Dr. Pepper Schwartz. And I got to tell you, man, what a wonderful name that is. Can you imagine people calling you Dr. Pepper? I mean, even if you don't care for that particular soft drink. What's in Dr. Pepper, by the way? Is it prune juice? There's something in that thing that makes it revolting yet alluring. I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. Bothers me, too. Anyway, Dr. Pepper will be joining us next week. And also, we're going to talk to Dennis Hoff, who is the owner and creator of the Bunny Ranch. This is like the Playboy Mansion kind of thing, but he has it in selected towns in Nevada where prostitution is legal. It's a high-class brothel, and celebrities and politicians and regular people, they go there, usually out of secret. They have secret entrances, and you go there and you get pleasured by these women who work there with him. And they're all controlled, and they're all tested, and all that kind of stuff. It's legalized prostitution in Nevada, and this guy is like running these very successful resort brothels. And I'm thinking a senior bus tour. I'm thinking something, man. Prostitution is illegal in Vegas itself, but there are certain towns where if the population is low enough, you can actually open up a brothel. Ron, are you serious? Or where do I go? What's the address? Well, I'll tell you. That's coming up next week, and we're going to interview the guy that's running it. I've played this before as a tease, because I love to tease you. I love to tease you by teasing you, and I want to play this for you. This is actually the I've played it before, but a lot of people are fascinated by it, and they actually stop me on the street and say, "Ron, what the hell's wrong with you?" And they also say, "Ron, like, that's amazing. That's amazing, Ron." And I say, "Yeah." So I'm going to play it for you here if I can find it. Where is it? Here it is. Here it is. All right. This is when you call the Bunny Ranch, which I did in order to do this interview with this guy. This is a pre-taped interview that we did last week. We're going to air it this coming week. It's the Bunny Ranch. This is when you call them. This is what you get. This is what you hear when you call them. You hear me breathing, and then you hear this. Well, all right, come on. Come on.
Hello, this is Madam Suzette. Thank you for calling Sagebrush Ranch, a fine addition to Dennis Hoff's collection of cat houses. If you know your party's extension, please dial it now. Otherwise, listen to the following options. Press 1 for directions to the Sagebrush Ranch. Press 2 to make an appointment with one of our starlets. Press 3 for limo and sedan services. Press 4 for employment opportunities. Press 5 for sex prices. Press 6 to hear one of our starlets in action. Or press 0 to speak to one of our customer service representatives.
Yeah, I press 6.
This is Hollywood. You want to come please me? Oh, I'm at the Sagebrush Ranch waiting for you. Yeah?
Get the kids away from the radio immediately.
I'm right there. Harder.
All right.
God, it feels so good. Yeah? Yeah? Oh. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. But don't forget, cash is king. Yeah. Yeah, baby, come see me.
Exiting the system. Goodbye.
Bye. That's funny. they get you all excited, and then this matronly lady says, "Exiting the system." Oh, okay, that'll be the end of that then, I suppose. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm promoting this particular show because the ratings need to climb even higher, and I figure by shoving sex in your face, literally, the ratings will indeed increase, whether you want to listen to it or not. It shall happen. So that's coming up next week. Tell your friends and neighbors, and there you go. It's Ron's big sex show. Sounds like a Wild West show coming into town. Here comes Ron's Wild West sex show. Ich.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I don't know what to wear today, to be honest with you. I have no freaking idea. Probably nothing at all. I've talked about this before, and I'll talk about it again, and I'll talk about it until I can't talk about it no more. I find it fascinating that you can go to the beach and you can see women wearing basically their underwear, which means a bikini. A bikini is nothing but underwear. The fabric's just a little bit thicker, not much. But you're wearing panties and a bra, and that's what a bikini is. And that's it. And on the beach, it's absolutely fine. But if you were walking down the street of Manhattan or Boston or any large city, Chicago, Los Angeles, where we have friends, and a woman was walking down the street wearing nothing but a panties and a bra, which could be considered to be a bikini, they would be arrested. And I find that fascinating. I have nowhere to go with this particular idea. I'm just saying I find that fascinating. That's, you know. And yet, I believe if a guy were walking down the street wearing nothing but shorts, and some shorts are nothing more than underpants with a little jock inside, they would be perfectly fine. I see men all the time walking around with just shorts on in public. You know, it's fine. They don't let you into Walmart yet just like that. I mean, someday they will, but right now. And you can't go to church, I believe, just wearing a bathing suit. That would be interesting, huh? Excuse me, sir. You can't come in church wearing a bathing suit. I want to get baptized. No, you don't understand. That's not, it's not public swimming to be baptized. Oh, okay, I misunderstood. Because it's hot outside, man. Yeah, you can't, you know, you're allowed to do it, but you can't. I find fascination in things that you're allowed to do, but you can't. Can I wear a bathing suit in public? Yeah. Can I wear it in an office building? Well, yeah, but you can't. Like, I can wear a bathing suit right in public. Yeah. And I can walk into a public church wearing a bathing suit. You can, but you can't. What? I'm confused. I know, it's confusing. You can, but you can't.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hey, stop it. Stop that right now. You might think no one can see you, but there are cameras all over the place. There's a camera in your little cable converter box thing. There's a camera in your computer screen. There's a camera in your car, that backup rear camera. It's a camera that's on you. And there's cameras all over. There's a camera on top of that pole there, that light pole. Yeah, there's a camera up there. This camera's everywhere. You're being watched totally. That Google thing? It's all cameras. All cameras, man. They're watching what you're doing. Be careful what you Google. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I hope you're enjoying yourself immensely. Ready? It's time to get more food. Hey, good to see you. I was watching, I watch a lot of television when I have nothing to do because I watch a lot of television when I have nothing to do. That's just the answer to it. There's no other way to explain it. I'm one of those people that roam the earth who have no idea what they're doing. I'm one of them. As a matter of fact, I lead a chapter. I have a local chapter. And people actually belong to my chapter, but they don't know it because they've given me their checking account number and makes you an automatic member, although you have no idea. And I don't withdraw large amounts of money out of your checking account. I do like $1 a day, so you have no idea. You think it's a service charge, but it's not. You're paying my rent, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm only kidding. That's a joke. So I'm watching TV, and when I watch TV, I don't know if you do this. You probably don't, because I've learned that everything that I do, nobody else really ever does. I always think, yeah, everybody must do this. And then I talk to people, and I go, we don't do that. And I go, oh, okay, fine. I flip around, man. That remote, I wear off the printing on the buttons of the remote. I wear them off within 2 weeks because I'm using those buttons. I'm pressing those buttons continually. I'm just flipping through channels like there's no tomorrow. I have Comcast, and that's like saying I have herpes. I mean, you're admitting something that is embarrassing, but yet you know other people have them, but you don't talk about it. You know, like, I have herpes, you have herpes, but we're not going to compare herpes. I have Comcast, you have Comcast, but we're way too embarrassed. I admit I have AOL. I mean, I'll do that. I'll come out of the closet on that one. Comcast, that hurts a little bit more. Anyway, I have the Comcast thing, and I'm flipping around, and there's like 200 channels, 500 channels, whatever, and nothing on any of them. And it's phenomenal that you can have that many channels, and there's nothing to watch on any of those channels whatsoever. It's one of the greatest enigmas of life. There's the pyramids. The Great Lakes, the Great Wall of China, these are wonders of the world. And now there's a new wonder. I wonder how Comcast can be so large and be so horrible, and how they can have 500 channels with absolutely nothing to watch on any of those channels. It's phenomenal. It's a wonder. It's a wonder of the world. And of course, the other wonder is Wonder Bread itself. How Wonder Bread ever went out of business, I'll never know. And then it came back, and no one really cared. This was amazing. You know, Wonder Bread, no more Wonder Bread. Oh, my God, how am I going to live? Okay, we'll bring Wonder Bread back. Okay, fine. I've switched to another bread, whatever. Yeah, it's odd. You got to be careful. You got to keep your brand. You got to keep your brand going. Yeah, that's why I do sex shows once a month. And I don't do sex shows once a month. That's why I say I do sex shows once a month, but I don't. Anyway, so I'm watching, I'm flipping around, and I flip by the Bravo channel. And Bravo channel, not so bad. There's some great programs on it that I do watch. A lot of people used to call it the gay channel, but it's not. It's got some great programming. Well, now it's been challenged by an actual channel called Logo, and that's for lesbians and gays and things. And it's really more directed toward that. And so, again, some fine programming on that channel, but it's specifically for a certain group of people. So I'm flipping around, and there's a, it's a panel show, man, and there's about four guys on it, and they're all gay. There's no question about it. The four guys are all gay, and then there's a female moderator who won. Must just assume is a lesbian. I assume it, and I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying it's an interesting channel, and it's fine. It's for a particular group of people. It's wonderful. The moderator says, and this is so true, I can't believe it. I'm not making this up. The moderator says, "Okay, take out your pads of paper," and these four gay guys take out these pads of paper and a pencil. And the moderator, this female lesbian moderator, says, "Okay, now draw me a picture of a clitoris." And I thought, oh my God, did I misunderstand this? Did she just say, draw me a picture of a clitoris or a stegosaurus? I don't know. She must have said stegosaurus because nobody in their right mind on television would ask four guys to pick up a pad of paper and draw a clitoris. But that's what she says. And these guys start drawing their rendition of a clitoris. And And you know, I don't know if it was a test to see if they actually knew what one looked like. I have no idea why they were doing this, because I was flipping around. I just came in on this thing, so to speak. And they're drawing it. And within about a minute, they're done. And she says, okay, put your pencils down, and which means you're done. And these guys, one by one, display on the camera their drawing rendition of the clitoris. And they're all pretty much spot on, may I say. Some of them, a couple of more wrinkles than the other. Some of them shaped a little bit more generously. But there they are. And I'm thinking, my God, what the hell am I watching? I am watching people aimlessly roaming the earth who don't know what the hell they're doing. And I thought, I'm going to form a club. I'm going to form a club because I can't believe what I'm seeing here. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would wake up in the morning, turn on the television, flip around, and find four gay guys drawing pictures of clitorises on command from a lesbian moderator. It's just, it blew my mind, man. It was like, if I were on drugs and I had flipped around and watched that, I probably would have said, I have lived long enough. That's my entire life. This is the crescendo. Four gay guys drawing pictures of clitorises. And I don't even know if that's the plural. I don't know if it's clitori. I have no idea. Never got into it that much. Well, I mean, I have, but not in an art sense, let's say. It blew my mind. By the way, don't let kids listen to this show. Seriously, it's really not for kids. I suggest against it. Kids should not be listening to this program. It's just not a good idea. I don't know. There's certain things in life that work out rather well, and other things are just not a good idea. That's just not a good idea.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
I'm confused. I'm confused.
Yeah, Ron, really?
Yeah, I am. I'm confused. I've been watching television commercials since I was a little child, and sometimes they're fascinating, sometimes they're just boring. But I'm confused, because they confuse me. I'm watching a commercial on television for stuff. And sometimes it'll lure me to the supermarket. And they have a toothpaste now that whitens your teeth. And actually prevents tartar buildup. And I thought to myself, is this a new announcement? Do you finally have toothpaste that prevents tartar buildup and lowers the incidence of cavities? Have you finally come out with a toothpaste like that? Because it was my impression that toothpaste always did that, but now all of a sudden, it's doing stuff to my teeth that I thought it already did. When you go to the supermarket or to a drugstore, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may buy your toothpaste, do this for me. Just humor me, will you? Go up to the toothpaste shelf and look at all the toothpaste and tell me that you don't get confused about which toothpaste to buy. There's toothpaste that whitens. There's toothpaste that has tartar control. There's toothpaste that prevents cavities. There's toothpaste that tastes real good. Then there's toothpaste that has all those components. Toothpaste that has some of those components. Toothpaste that doesn't say it has any of those components. I know damn well all these freaking toothpastes are exactly the same. You're just labeling the boxes differently. Why do I have to stand there in the toothpaste aisle and decide whether I'm going to buy toothpaste? What's more important to me, whitening, tartar control? The enamel on my teeth? Why can't you sell me a fucking tube of toothpaste and get on with your life? Some of the tubes lay flat. Some of the tubes you can store vertically. Some of them are soft toothpaste. Some of them are harder toothpaste. Some of them are organic. Some of them aren't. Why are you dealing with me? Leave me alone. Give me some stuff to put on my teeth so that they don't rot away in my head, and then go on with your life. Stop confusing me with all these possibilities. What is with you? Same with laundry detergent. I go to the laundry detergent aisle, and it's the Tide, for example. I mean, that's one of the older brands, Ajax, all this stuff. And on the label, it says stain lifters. What are you telling me? If I don't buy the bottle that says stain lifter on it, then you ain't going to lift my stains? I thought all laundry detergents cleaned my laundry. Whiter whites, more vibrant colors. Yeah, I thought they were all doing that. Now, I don't know which one to buy now. I want the vibrant colors, but I also want them to lift stains. Can't you put those two together and just call it laundry detergent and just put it on the shelf and leave me alone? So all I got to do is just go, oh, there's a laundry detergent. I'll grab a bottle. It cleans my clothes. It gives me brighter colors and whiter whites, and it lifts my stains. I mean, why do I have to go through all this crap? All the stuff exactly the same, most likely. But you're labeling, you're giving me like too many choices, man. And it's all the same crap. You know it. Soap is giving me a hard time now. The liquid soap. Soap used to just come in bars. You know, bars suck because no matter how much, when you're in the shower and you use a bar of soap, I don't know where they got the term bar. It's a hunk of soap. It's a hunk of burning soap. I don't know why it's a bar. I know what a bar is. I've been to bars before. Looks nothing like the soap. Usually there's stools and a person behind it handing you alcoholic beverages for pay. That's a bar to me. It has nothing to do with cleaning myself in a shower stall or in a bathtub. I mean, that sucker just slips out of my hand. I wish they could create a soap, which is a non-slipping out of your hand soap. Wouldn't that be great? You know, what kind of soap you use, Ron? The kind that doesn't like slip out of my hand, and then I have to find it when there's soap in my eyes on the, and I can't bend down like that. That's so bothersome. Well, then invent some soap. They actually did. They invented soap on a rope. Seriously, they don't have it anymore because it was a fucked up idea. But it wasn't bad at the time. It was like a necklace. You put this rope around your neck, and at the end of the rope was a bar of soap, and the rope was embedded inside the bar of soap. So you wore it around your neck, and you cleaned yourself, and the soap wouldn't slip on the ground because it was like, you know, secured around your neck. Now, if you wanted to clean your pubes or your private parts or your knees or your feet, that presented a problem because the rope wasn't that long. Maybe that's why the product didn't survive. Anyway, soap-wise, I go to the liquid soap aisle. I like liquid soap because it's just, you know, now they're coming out with all different flavors of soap. Raspberry soap, black cherry, and vanilla soap. That's what I have. It's a lovely scent. Vanilla. My co-host, Tori Lagarde, she loves vanilla. If you ever find out it's her birthday or anything like that, get her anything in the scent of vanilla. She loves it. not anyway, and I happen to like vanilla. I think it's a lovely scent. It calms me down. I don't know what it is. I like vanilla. She doesn't. I do. So you know, all these wonderful scented hand soaps, but some of them say antibacterial, and I'm figuring, okay, man, I thought the idea of soap was to get rid of the bacteria, to clean your hands. Now I'm finding out if I don't get the soap that's antibacterial, I'm cleaning my hands with soap that will give me bacteria. I mean, what are you doing to me? Why are you confusing me like this? Too many choices. Too many choices. And Comcast, too many channels. Verizon is doing something very interesting, which I haven't investigated. I don't have Verizon. They have their little cable things going on too. It's not cable though, Verizon. I don't know what the hell cable. I don't know. It's fiber optics or FiberCon or it makes you go to the bathroom more. Some kind of thing with fiber in it that Verizon has. They're saying you don't have to have 500 channels. Why pay for 500 channels when you don't watch 500 channels? Just pay for the channels that you want to watch. Well, it's not like a menu. It's not like a sushi menu where you say, I want to watch this channel and this channel. It's groups of channels. And apparently you can save money if there's a whole group. But like if I totally was not into sports and I'm really not into sports at all, but every once in a while I do like to watch a game. So it's not like I never want to not be able to watch a sporting event, but I don't want to pay for it all the time is my point. I don't know how they handle that part of it, but it makes sense to me. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm just rambling and I don't even know where I am in my head. So what we're going to do is we're going to speak to a guest at this point so that I can regroup upstairs in my brain cells. We're going to talk about painkillers, today. And I have a guest that's, when you open up your medicine cabinet, I don't know if we still have medicine cabinets, by the way. I think just we have drawers full of crap. I don't think medicine cabinets are mirrors full of crap. They're a mirror on a hinge, and when you open up the mirror, behind it is a stash of painkillers. I think that's what it is. I think they're hidden. You know, it's like your medications are hidden behind this mirror. It's like a wall safe of painkillers. The painkillers. Very interesting. Some people are addicted to them. Some people die from overdoses of them. So I thought I'd be interested to speak to Deborah Hirschman. Let's speak to Deborah right now. Deborah Hirschman is president and CEO of the National Safety Council. Joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're talking about the prescription painkiller epidemic. The National Safety Council did a survey, I understand.
That's right. One of the things that's really important for people to understand as they think about overdose deaths and they think about things in the back alley, and this is really so much more commonplace. It's affecting all of us and all walks of life. For the first time since World War II, poisonings have overtaken car crashes as the leading cause of unintentional death in the United States. The leading cause of those poisonings are prescription painkiller overdoses. They result in more deaths than cocaine and heroin combined.
Now, does a survey show if the abuse is from people who suffer from pain, are prescribed painkillers, and then get addicted to them, or is it misuse of people who aren't even prescribed on them but get a hold of them?
You know, it's both. A lot of people end up becoming addicted to prescription painkillers starting from a very innocent injury or event, but as they become addicted, it becomes more and more difficult for them to get off those drugs. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for consumers to think about if they do have an event where they're with their doctor and may need some assistance from painkillers, yeah, to talk about alternatives to, yeah, opioids. Opioids are the same chemical base as heroin. And so when we talk about opioid painkillers, we're talking about Vicodin, Percocet, right, Oxycontin, hydrocodone. Those are the brand names for these drugs, and they are highly addictive.
So that's almost every painkiller prescribed for extreme pain after surgery, that kind of thing. What about morphine? Is that under that category?
You know, morphine is also something that is a Schedule II and highly regulated, but I would say more common as far as oral medications, yeah, are the ones that we talked about.
Yeah. And we don't know if it's people that really need it or they become addicted to it and don't need it.
You know, it's both, but we know that 70% of people who have prescription painkiller addictions, yeah, get them from family or friends. Yeah. And so we know that these addictions affect teenagers through senior citizens. But particularly for middle age, the leading cause of death for 35 to 54 is prescription painkiller overdoses when we look at unintentional death. And so a lot of times people are not intending to overdose.
Right.
These drugs actually slow your respiration down. And so when people take too much of them, they don't understand that they are going to just stop breathing. And many of them just pass away in their sleep and don't realize what's happened.
Deborah, do you think that if they were aware that they could kill themselves accordingly, that they would stop, or the addiction has already taken hold?
Well, I think it's really important for consumers to know how risky these drugs are, what their side effects are, how addictive they are when they first, you know, go into the doctor so they can ask for alternatives.
Yeah.
We have looked at a number of studies and how pain is managed, and actually a combination of ibuprofen and Tylenol is just as effective, and if not more effective for some people in managing pain than the opioids. And so it's really important to look at what your alternatives might be and what the side effects of the drugs you're taking. And if you're going to take an opioid, make sure you take it for the shortest duration possible. So if you only need a couple of days' supply, don't get a prescription for a few weeks or a month.
I know how to put this tastefully, but are physicians somewhat to blame for over-prescribing?
Absolutely. There is some responsibility here for physicians. I think the pharmaceuticals have pushed these painkillers as the Cadillac of pain treatment. And so the challenge is, we hear from some doctors, is that patients come in and ask for them by name.
Yeah.
They want these drugs. And nowadays, when everybody's filling out a survey about their doctor, doctors are in a position where if they're not giving the patient what they want, that doesn't work out so well for them sometimes. But it's really important that doctors be aware, and one of the things that we're working through right now is there are no prescribing guidelines for these drugs, and so part of the concern is that doctors are over-prescribing these drugs, and we want to make sure that they have good alternatives to provide.
Certainly isn't my doctor. I can't even get an aspirin out of my doctor. But anyway, that's my thing. I guess the awareness would be more effective if, and I guess this is why we're doing the awareness, is if you have friends or family that notice that you have an addiction problem to painkillers, they're the ones that would be the catalyst to start healing this, not the person under addiction themselves, but loved ones.
You know, unfortunately, our loved ones probably are the ones who can recognize that there is an addiction.
Sure.
And I'd say if you've got a chronic use of an opioid painkiller, you probably do have an addiction. The problem is, over time, there's an effect that takes place when you take these drugs that you end up taking more of them to get the same impact.
Right.
One of the other big concerns is 4 out of 5 heroin users started their addiction with prescription painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people who may, for very innocent reasons, start taking prescription painkillers develop a habit that then gets to the point where either they get cut off from their supply as far as the prescription opioids, their doctors won't prescribe them anymore, or they can't get them from friends or family, and they turn to heroin because the street value of heroin is actually cheaper than black market opioids. So this is a real problem in the U.S., and we've got to be educated about one of the number one causes of death, and we're just not talking about it. I think it's hard for families to discuss this, even when they have a problem that they're trying to address themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like alcoholism, I suppose.
It is. I would say that there's probably what we see very often is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to addiction, and there's a whole lot of people who are suffering, you know, underneath that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you have an addictive personality, if you're not aware that you do and recognize it, you can fall into all kinds of pitfalls and all kinds of categories, and that's it's a problem. But people should know if they have addictive personalities, certainly.
Absolutely, and some of the markers for that are alcoholism in the family or even smoking are risk factors for addiction.
Yeah, anything that's habitual, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything that supposedly makes you feel good but kills you. How do we get more information about this?
For more information, visit our website, nsc.org, and we've got plenty of studies and research and even toolkits for employers if you're looking to address an issue within your workplace and keep your employees safe.
Wonderful. She's Deborah Hurstman. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. It's something that we probably know about, but when you focus on it, you pretty much understand where you're really at, and that's a good thing to do. Thank you, Deborah.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. You have a safe day.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lovely, lovely, lovely woman. Lovely, lovely, lovely woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I leave you at this time to go on your own, to cast off into all directions. Make it a fruitful, wonderful, pleasurable day. And I'll be with you soon again next time around. Yeah, we do this every weekday, so don't be a stranger. Until then, I wish you peace.